Judges chapter 13. And thinking for several days about Father's Day coming up, thinking a lot about my parents, grandparents, my wife's parents, and how they were godly people that followed the precepts, taught me so much. And so there were a lot of lessons in my childhood about being a father. So when I stepped into the role of the father, but I still need lessons. And you're just like me. You never get too old to learn, and you never get too long, but what you need, never get too old, but what you need to learn, every one of us. So in this chapter, chapter 13 of the book of Judges, we're going to look at lessons about being a father. God put this scripture on my mind. And then Wednesday night, Brother Justin Lannon preached on Samson. What a wonderful message it was. So uplifting. Truths from God's word about, remember in chapter 13, we're introduced to the father and the mother of Samson. So we're going to look this morning at some lessons. Everything, there's lessons in the word of God. It's for our learning. It's for us. So the first word in this chapter 13, and the children of Israel did evil. Again, looks like they've been up to it a long time. In the sight of the Lord. Thank God, thank God. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years, but thank God he saw a way out. So we're learning in this particular chapter that God's going to be with those people that follow him, and when nations or people, his people in particular, we that are saved, or we belong to him. Israel belonged to him. And as a result, they had not been following him for many years. The book of Judges, all the book of Judges is over 300 years, their story over and over again. God would appoint a judge to lead his people. He was a leader, but he would use judges. And those judges would sometimes do the best they can, and sometimes they would do the worst they could, seemingly. It was a cycle over and over and over. If you look at the book of Judges, many times there was tribe against tribe. It almost wiped one another out. A parallel pretty much to America, the country we live in. There's been times in our nation that north against south, and people against people, and evil against good. And God is the one that has ordained that we would follow him, but many people don't want to follow him. And in this particular chapter, we're going to see what God's going to do about that. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. 40 is a number of judgment. Remember, Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. David went out as a young boy, and his brothers were standing every morning. They would listen to Goliath come up on the mountaintop and defy God and the armies of God. 40 days, not 41, because God brought deliverance. And here 40 again, so many times in the Word of God, God brings deliverance. He's going to bring deliverance through another judge. The rest of the judges, some of them were following God. And every time it's a cycle. Look at America now. Not only many times fighting against each other, but evil against good. And our nation now remembers this year in July the 4th, we'll say, right, 243 years as the nation. This chapter, chapter 13, is about 250 years into the book of Judges, pretty much parallel with what we are in America. If you look at America, we sure need lessons in following God. And God wants to give them. And God is our leader. He's the one that's going to help us. And we fathers, and every one of us, need to learn. You say, I'm not a father yet. Well, maybe one of these days, if you are so inclined to get married as a male, you will marry a woman, and maybe God will give you children. You need lessons in fatherhood. You want to learn that from this particular chapter. So we keep looking, and the names are so important. We're introduced to a man, Manoah. And his name means rest. He is the father that's going to be of Samson. His name means rest. And then we're going to look at his father. His father is Zorah. His name means hornet. Now, God has a purpose and a plan for letting every one of us be named. And I don't know much about my name. Seems like us Americans aren't too interested in that. But in Israel's time, and the names really meant something. And then these two, Dan was the tribe that they were from. Let's look at that name. Dan means a judge. And let's look at the prophecy concerning Dan. And remember, Manoah and Samson were going to be of that family of the Danites. Dan seemingly didn't have too good a beginning, because there's a lot to be learned about fatherhood too. Jacob, remember, married Leah, and then he married his true love. He married Rachel. And Rachel was so envious against her sister having children that God shut up her womb and she could not have children. She, like a lot of people, wanted to help God out. So, God, you can't give me children, or you won't give me children, so I'll make that for myself. And she takes her maiden, Bilhah, and gives her to Jacob to have a child. And you know what this Bilhah's name means? Trouble. And ever since that child has been born, seemingly there's trouble. Let's look at the prophecy concerning Dan in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verses 16 and 17, what God said about that. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. However, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horses, the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Prophecy concerning this tribe. And we see God's prophecy is always fulfilled. This has been several hundred years before this event. So let's get into the story, chapter 13, how God has given lessons for fathers. Manoah is not a father yet, so he's got a lot to learn. Let's read the text together. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. God uses those situations when they couldn't trust in God, and God can. We see that many times in the Word of God, how Rachel was barren and she had tried to help God out and got a son all right, but it's going to be an adder in the way, a snake that biteth all the way through. And then God did open Rachel's womb and she had children after all, Joseph and Benjamin. So God will take care of his own. We learn also that, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said to her, behold now, thou art barren, and beareth not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Prophecy concerning what God's going to do through Manoah and his wife. They couldn't have any children, but God can and will. He always has a purpose in doing this. Verse 8, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. That word terrible means in the Hebrew, it means an awe. When I saw his countenance, I was awesome in fear, because I realized that was an angel of God. And I realized that he had found me where I was. And when you get a visit, it's like the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual at the day that they are lost, and they realize, and God realizes it's time to have Jesus as your Savior, and you find out you're lost because the Holy Ghost convicts, illuminates. And that was an awesome thing for me as a 12-year-old boy. It was so thrilling in a way, and she was not only thrilled, but she described it in the King James, terrible, but it means awesome, a God-fearer. And when I looked upon him, and he told me these things. Now we're going to look at the first thing about Manoah. Manoah now is going to give us some lessons. God uses people, and he tells us a whole lot about people. Sometimes he tells us the good qualities, and we learn from that. We realize that the good qualities, we should measure up. But he's also an honest, fair God, and he tells us some features about individuals in the Word of God that aren't right. And we surely learn from those too. So we're going to look both this morning, because Manoah was just a man and just an individual like you and I. He had faults and he had possibilities, but he still had lessons to learn. So after the husband now, Manoah had heard from his wife. It's interesting that God appeared to the wife and told her what was going to happen. After all, mothers are primarily responsible, always have been, for caring for that individual child. It's not that the father doesn't care, but God has given the woman, the wife, the mother, the instinct and the ability to rear that child and to teach them, even when it's in the womb, about the things of God. So God appears to the woman, and the woman, of course, tells her husband. And then we're going to pick up the reaction of the husband in a little bit. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born. The word entreat means to pray, to earnestly entreat God and to plea and to ask him. And that's what we do when we realize that the Holy Spirit comes to our heart and convicts of our sins. We don't just let it go by, not if you're really intelligent or smart. You say, boy, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to seek God's face. I'm going to plea for my soul. When the Holy Ghost shows you you're lost and you're in need of a Savior, it just doesn't make sense to do it any other way. I realize a lot of people do, and that's their business. But for me, I had been taught in church all the days of my life, and my grandparents, as far back as I know, thank God, that when the Holy Ghost comes and speaks to you, you say, yes, Lord, here am I. It seems that Manoah had been taught in the ways of God. Remember, that Israel is in trouble. 40 years they've been in trouble now, this time really bad. They have been taken over by the enemy. And now the report has come to the wife that I'm going to give a son to you and her, and we're going to have that son, a Nazarite. I'm going to take special care, and that son will deliver the people, God, through that son. And no wonder that Manoah now was very interested, and he realized that he needed some lessons of his own. The wife had heard, and the wife described it as an awesome thing, a fearful thing, to stand before God and realize God can use you. But there's requirements, remember? Not only was a son going to be a Nazarite, but she herself could not drink of strong drink. And that's a lesson for everybody. Thank God my parents and grandparents taught me and taught me well about that. Never touch this stuff. In fact, if I was around somebody that drank, and the smell of it made me sick, and I've said this before, we had pigs and we had hogs growing up on the farm, and I learned that the pig will eat almost anything. But I dare say I don't believe a pig would drink that stuff. I think a pig would rather the smell of that stuff. And so it wasn't a chore for her not to drink of strong drink, and she's going to teach her son. Parents, that's one of the smartest things you'll ever do. Not only teach them by words, but teach them in practice. Strong drink, God hates it. God deplores it. and it's ruined many a family. And I realize I didn't mean to go this way, but a lot of the families never started, well, I'll just taste a drink, I'll be social, I'll just drink it. You're going, no drunkard that you've ever seen or ever heard of that's an alcoholic and dies that way, ever intended to be that way, start out with one drink somewhere. Lessons. Avoid it. God says, I can't use you as a mother. I can't use you, your son. If you indulge in that, I won't use you. God's pretty clear on, awful clear on what he says. So now the man is so interested in what God wants him to do that he entreats God. He pleads, he begs, God, please send that man back and show us the way. Lessons. We don't know how to rear children. The Word of God teaches us, but Lord, there's things that come up in rearing children that is very specific to me and my child and you and your child. And show us. Teach us. Now, if you desire a thing like he did, God's going to answer that. Oh, it won't be the way you thought. Manoah thought the angel would come back and tell him. But he chooses not to do that. He comes back again to the woman. Now, the woman has a choice. She can take it and relay it to the man. But this time, the angel is going to stay around a while so the prayer can be heard and answered. God is really strong on answering prayers. And he won't do it your way. He'll do it better than your way. He's God. Scripture teaches us in verse 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. How come? He prayed with a sincere heart. He was begging. He was entreating. And he was pleading from the heart. God, I know you want to give us a son, and I know you have experiences that we'll go through that we don't understand, and you've told us no strong drink and rear him and all that thing, but we need help. We need help before the child is conceived. We need help before the child is God. God, please help us. You know what God did? He hearkened. He always does. Sincere heart. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. We learn another lesson here that God will appear to us on his schedule, not ours. No doubt Manoah thought, well, I'll pray, I'll seek God's face, and he knew the angel would come. He didn't know when. God keeps like things like that to himself, but I assure you God will do right. He will be there on time, and when least expected in the field, there the angel of the Lord is again. But look what happens this time. Yes, he tells her, but Manoah has requested, I want personally to meet this angel. I want personally to know what he expects of me. And wouldn't that be good if, a lesson for every one of us? If you and I knew what God wants you to do, it's not good enough that you know what God wanted Manoah to do or what God wanted his wife to do. We need to know what God wants us to do. And if we'll plead and pray and beg and sincerely desire, God help me. It may be in regard to fatherhood. It may be in regard to your children or grandchildren. But whatever it is, a lesson for us that we need God. And God is available. And when God tells us something, we'll never doubt it. We'll never go astray if we follow his precepts. Verse 10. The angel now has appeared to the woman the second time. And the woman made haste and ran. And she to her husband and said to him, behold, the man that hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? He said, I am. Prayer's answered. He wanted to be able to get clear instructions from the Word of God. And notice, God's always consistent. He doesn't say in one place do this, another place do that. Consistency of God. Verse 11, and Manoah rose and went after his wife. Verse 12, and Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. In other words, I've spoke it. It's eternal. And what God has said in his word will come to pass. All you and I have to do is receive it, accept it, cling to it, and obey it. And let God be true and every man a liar. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of any clean thing. Verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us attain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. It's like us. We always want to do works, works, works. God spoke. We listen. And he wants to use us. Go on about the task of serving him. It seems like we want to do something. In a way, that's good. In a way, we want to please him. We want to do something. But remember, works is not going to get anything accomplished. It's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we could ever learn that we do sacrifice and God loves that. He loves us to be. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brother, of the mercies of God that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, a sacrifice to him. But obedience, listen to his voice and following him, God holds in high esteem. His word is true. Manoah said unto the angel, verse 18, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing this secret? We should be willing sometimes just to take God at his word. It's been clearly revealed to him what he's going to do, what God's going to do. And then he wants to know, what's your name? What did you come to us for? Why? God doesn't necessarily, it's okay. Jesus asked God the Father, why hath thou forsaken me? And he realized full well why God forsaken him, because he's going to die and he's going to take your sins and mine and become sin for us. And at that time, God being the Holy God, his Father must forsake him for a while because God cannot stand sin. And Jesus realized that. And being full man and full God, he accepted the cup. And the Holy Ghost speaks to you and I today. God has given us everything. A debt of that we cannot repay. God has given us himself. He's given us life. He saved your soul. He will save your children's soul. And we're so blessed to have his protection. And we don't know why a lot of things happen. The story has been told and asked many times. Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, I don't know the answer to that, and neither do I ask a lot of questions regarding that. My trust is in God that he will do right. He has done right. He will do right. And the lesson for us, to trust God. He's already revealed to him what he's going to do. He's told Manoah and his wife what they're to do. And so get on with the program. Start praying and thank him for things he hasn't done that he said he will do. Now Manoah wants to do some little something, maybe to get honor and prestige for it. I don't know. And so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, verse 19, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven, from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the Lord. Can you imagine? I can't. That there they are worshiping, building a fire, cooking a kid, a baby lamb, and offering it to the angel. And he says he's not going to eat of that. And in the smoke and the flames, the angel goes back up to God. But look what Manoah does. Manoah fell on his face and worshiped. And a lesson for us, another lesson. Look what that lesson is in the next verse. And the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Distrust. The lesson for us, and not only do we look to him, we entreat to him, as he said. He fell on his face and looked to God and committed himself to God. But now, the lesson for us not to do is to mistrust God. God had told them, you're going to have a son. And they said, because we've seen the angel, God's going to kill us. Isn't that some kind of untrust? That's a big thing. God shows us something. We accept that. We know what he wants. And you're a little bit farther, and your mind starts coming to you, and Satan starts speaking pretty soon. Well, we've seen God. We've seen him ascend. And now he's going to kill us. Now, if he would kill him before the son was born, then that means God would promise something he couldn't do. And to even think that way is beyond me. But see, that's a lesson we need to learn. When God shows you something, and you know that God shows you, and you know, I'll tell this story. The Lord showed me so clearly that he would put me at Fletcher First Baptist Church. I didn't know when, but I knew it would be within 6 months, and that was in October 92. And I knew that because he told me that. And then when they called me and asked me would I consider, long story, but then when they elected me pastor, I didn't pray and say, now, God, is this what you want? You say, why shouldn't you? Because God already told me. And not to do it. And when God tells me something to do, now, we all speak English, right? And if we don't, we speak a little English, you know, maybe country language, but we speak English. And if you tell me something and I hear it, and say, okay, let's do something tomorrow, 9 o'clock, okay, 9 o'clock tomorrow. Would it not insult you if I came back to you, now, we're going to do that at 9 o'clock, right? You change your mind yet? We're going to do it at 9 o'clock. Wouldn't that be, if God tells you something, I'm talking about God tells you something. Now, we tell each other something and we can't always do it. But when God tells you something, and God told them something, and now he says God's going to kill me. It's the same thing you and I do so many times. The lessons about fatherhood is when God tells you something, how to rear that child and what to do with that child, don't question it. God showed you in the word. And in any regard, when God shows you something and you know God showed you something, questioning God is mistrust. It's saying, God, I can't trust you. It's a lack of faith. And the lesson we need to learn, not only do we entreat God for all the answers, he gives them to us, and faith gives us that, and then faith wavers. You know what James said about faith? He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the man, wind and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. Now we learn that Manoah, yeah, he's just a man like us. He trusts God. He leans on God. God entreats him, and God shows him. And after God showed him, he thinks God's going to kill him. But thank God for wives. Sometimes they say preachers get like that. I may get like that. I never have. I'm not saying I won't. He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I know that. But when God shows you something, you know, God help me to believe it and walk through him. But look what happens. He needs a wife to lean on, as we do. Thank God for wives. So he said to his wife, we shall surely die. God won't keep his word. I know we can trust him, but not this time. God's going to kill us. But his wife said to him, thank you, Miss Manoah. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at their hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. Reasonable. Sometimes it takes their wives to set their noggin straight. God help us never to be like that, lack of faith. But let's keep reading. We looked at two major things. First of all, we've seen that Manoah said, God, you showed my wife. I want to hear it firsthand. When I hear it, I believe it. And when we sing, he like every one of us, hopefully we won't, but many times we do, untrust. But now we see another thing. Here the child is born, just like God said. They reared him right. God showed him how to rear him right. Now he's a man, and God has given him a charge. Let's see what the parents do about that. When you have a son, when you have a daughter, we rear them the best we can, and then it comes a time for them to make a decision. And I know we parents like to make a decision for them. But God doesn't always show us parents what he has in mind for the child. I know we want to. I told Darren and Gina when they first got married, and this is a lesson for every one of us. Sandra and I told them when they first got married, we will never knock on your door uninvited, and we will never tell you you should have done this. We'll never give you advice that you don't ask for. But if you need us, we're there. We've seen people get divorced over parent interference. Mom and dad going to their daughter or their son, and, hey, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Drives a wedge between the married couple. When they get married, leave them alone. Let them know you're there for them, as we did Darren and Gina. I'm full of advice, but I won't offer it until you ask for it. My advice is not as good as God's. The first thing you need to do is go ask God what you want. And we've kept that all these years. Number one time it says, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. If they ask me, I'll tell them. Same situation here, we're going to learn. God has now, let's read the last verse of this chapter, last two verses. Verse 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went upward from heaven, from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended. And then verse 21, the angel of the Lord did no more appear. And Manoah doubted, verse 22. Verse 23, the wife came straighten out. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him, just like he said. All he had to do was believe and accept it. Now we look at the third thing we need to look at this morning. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaloth. He's a grown man. They've done what they could. They've reared him right. And now the Spirit of God controls him. Not mom and dad anymore. I know they'd like to. They'd like to lend a little helping hand and tell him what he ought to do. Get out of the way, mom and dad. He's God's. He belongs to God. Next chapter. God puts on his heart. Don't have to read all. Verse 3. His father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, nor among the people that thou shouldest have a wife of the circumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now they had good intentions. Aren't there a lot of Israelite girls? After all, God said, no, don't marry a pagan. But remember, God's controlling him, and he doesn't have to, they don't have to get God's permission. God doesn't have to get Manoah and his wife's permission. God is in control of this young man's life. And God says, go get a wife of a Philistine. And they said, don't do it. Who's right and who's wrong? Let God be true and every man a liar. Next verse. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he saw an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. God's way is not ours. This is God's way of getting Samson to go in the Philistine camp. Remember, the Philistines been controlling him 40 years. And I know they had the plan. Manoah and his wife had the plan, and God's going to use their son. He said he would to deliver him. But we're going to tell God how to do it. It surely wouldn't be by going out and marrying one of them. God's ways not our way. And any parent would think like that, but the lesson for you and I is that let God be God. And when God speaks, don't try to interfere with what God does. I know women and I know people that were madly in love. They said they were. And they were going to get married, and mom and dad somehow talked them out of it, and their life for the next 40, 50 years, they didn't marry the one God had for them, because mom and dad said, don't do that. Hey, if God said it, go ahead and talk to him, but if God didn't tell you to say that, you better just stay clear, because Manoah and his wife's going to get in trouble with God real quick when they're starting to interfere what God wants to do with that young man's life. Three lessons. That when God appears and teaches something in his word or in his way, we entreat him, we fall on the face before him and say, God, I want to know more. I want to do it right. He passed that test. And then we see that when God did react and it was going to happen, we have a lesson on don't lose your faith. If God said it, he's not going to renege on it. And don't ever question it. Don't ever question what God has already told you and said he's going to do. And then third thing is when God got a path and something started in their children's life, stay out of the equation. Pray for them and treat them. But a lot of divorces, a lot of trouble because mom and dad. When I counsel young people, I don't have time to get into this. But I tell them one of the greatest causes of divorces is mom and dad meaning well. And they drive a wedge. And the best thing, I won't even go there. Three lessons in God's word about fatherhood. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these lessons that you've taught us and taught us well. Father, we realize that we're a nation much like Israel was in defiance. We've left you as a nation. And that's why Israel was in the trouble they were. 250 years or so in the book of Judges, we find this happening, that you're going to deliver them once again. And we as a nation, 243 years old, we're so divided. And the reason we're divided is we've left God, the things of God, the precepts of God. We've gone our own way. We have acted to the things of God. We've reacted in our own selfish way of sin and despair and disgrace. God, send the deliverer. You have sent a deliverer in Christ Jesus. But God, send men to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Send fathers that will be entreated of you and say, Father, how can I help? Oh God, how can I help? How can I rear my children? How can I be influenced on my grandchildren? And then when you tell us, help us to accept it and believe it and not get in your way. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. Forgive us as a nation. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. You stand on your feet, please. Brother Randy, have a song of invitation to sing. Altar's open. You say, I don't have children yet. I'm a mother, I'm a dad, and we're married, and I won't have children, but you worry so much anymore. You see children going astray and children doing wrong, and the fear, what will my child do? Dedicate them to God before they're born. Follow the precepts. And when God shows you something, never, ever doubt it. And once you get them to the age of accountability and they leave home and they get married, if God don't tell you to do it, just clam it up. If they're saved and they belong to God, God can handle them. Yeah, they'll make mistakes. They'll come to you for advice. Don't get in the way of God. Don't get in the way of God. The altar's open. Brother Randy.